verses 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Creator who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. God has rescued us from the powers of sin and transferred us into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to God's self all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the cross. Friends, will you join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy, holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, I was driving from a late afternoon appointment in Cambridge back up to Nahant. And when I drive, I generally take the opportunity to listen to a playlist that I have called Jesus Jams. And this is a long, really long, and carefully curated over many years playlist that I have put together. And there are presently 81 songs on the list. They're all songs of praise and worship, reminders of God's presence and call. And these are the songs that center and ground me like nothing else does, just alone in my car. And as I sang along from one song to the next, I encountered this series of songs that reminded me of being a very small child, visiting my Texas relatives and singing along to these same songs at their very large Church of Christ church. They were all a cappella, they were all four-part harmonies, and one song would lead right into the next. And I sang along as I drove these familiar words, I love you, Lord, and I lift my hands, and these other words, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. One song after another that spoke of praising Jesus for who Jesus is in my life and for that relationship that I have to Christ who reigns supreme. I followed along as one song or hymn faded into the next, and I found myself right over there on the Lenway, just overcome with gratitude. The gratitude that I was feeling in that exact moment happened to be this gratitude for my grandparents and for their parents. My grandparents, half of whom died before I was born, but I felt this gratitude and this connection as I sang some of the songs that I know that they sang. I sang along to these hymns and songs of praise and worship, and I felt so connected to them. They were people who were in church all day on Sunday. They would go in the morning, they would take a break, and then they would come back at night, and every Wednesday night. And their church and their faith and their Jesus, these were all the things that their life were built upon and around. Everything else in life revolved around church. And I was overwhelmed with gratitude for their faith, because that was the faith that influenced my mom, who became a woman of great faith in her life and very involved in her church, which then, in turn, through her example, influenced me to listen for my own call. So I wonder, this morning, have you ever had a moment like that in your life, a moment in which you are just bowled over by this overwhelming sense of gratitude? That kind of gratitude that just like seeps into every fiber of your being, such that you might cry a bit or that you might pray a bit. Maybe it's that gratitude that brings you to your knees or causes you just to lift your hands. And maybe for you, that gratitude is not about this overwhelming sense of Jesus in your life, and that's fine. Maybe you've had this happen when anxiously awaited test results come back negative. Maybe you've had this happen when you hold that first baby or grandbaby for the very first time. Or maybe you've had this happen when you pause at 40 steps or at Long Beach and you are just overcome by the overwhelming beauty of the sea. That feeling of pure gratitude, that is a gift, that feeling. It's a gift that many of us don't really tap into as often as we could. And so in this very moment, in this very sanctuary, I am going to invite you to settle into a feeling of gratitude. So think of someone right now that you are grateful for from your past. For me, it's those grandparents. Take a moment to breathe. Feel that gratitude wash over you for something in your past. Now I invite you to let that feeling of gratitude extend into your present. What are you grateful for in the here and now? Bring that into your consciousness. Take a moment to breathe and feel that gratitude wash over you for something in the present. I invite you to let that feeling of gratitude extend out beyond you and into the future. What are you grateful for in the future time? For me, what comes to mind this morning is communion, knowing that my grandparents took it and my grandkids will take it and it's all the same table. That's what I'm grateful for. So what are you grateful for in the future? Take a moment to breathe and feel that gratitude. Center ourselves on a regular basis in this experience of profound gratitude for that which came before us, that which is, and that which is still yet to come. This eternal thread of gratitude links us to God, our Creator, to Christ, our saving King, and to the Holy Spirit active and at work now, in the past, and in the future. So we're going to take this sense of gratitude that we've built up in the sanctuary this morning, that we've cultivated, into our understanding of this morning's scripture. So today's scripture comes from a part of the Bible that is made up of letters from Paul to the early church and early communities. So today's selection from the lectionary, it begins strangely in this 11th verse of the chapter, and so we have to back it up and look at verses 9 and 10 to really have an understanding of what it is that's happening. So in the 9th verse, Paul prays as a point of introduction and thanksgiving. And in this prayer, he does some foreshadowing of some of the issues that he's going to bring up later on in his letter. So overall, there's this emphasis on directing us to focus in all areas of our life on the presence of God, especially in problem areas. So here's what the two verses say that come before what we read a moment ago. Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of God's will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please God in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Those are the two verses that come before what we read. In this scripture, you read Paul doing something that he does a lot in his letters. If you go back and read them, he immediately transitions from this gift from God to us into what it is that we do with it. God, fill you with knowledge of God's will, wisdom, and understanding so that, and you hear that purpose and call in that, so that you receive God's gifts and then become a channel that does not store up the gifts, but rather allows them to flow through you. You could read it this way. You receive God's gifts gratefully, and rather than hoarding them away or denying them, you become a conduit and allow yourself to be giving to others. And that's where we pick up with today's scripture, in which Paul demands action and outcome fitting of these earlier two verses. Focus on God, he says. Strengthen God's people with an endurance, for this endurance that is the race of life. The last part of today's scripture verses lifts up poetically this importance of Christ as the giver of new life and purpose. And in these final verses, the word for all, that appears 8 different times. There is this fullness in these verses. There is this abundance, this all-encompassing nature. This supremacy of grace-filled and compassionate Christ is rather radical. It's radical in the world that Paul is writing to, and it's radical today in our world, where scarcity and fear are so often in the driver's seat of decision-making. This letter from Paul describes the rule of Christ, loving and purpose-filled and inclusive. And when I read that, I think, what would it be like if we believed that more often? Imagine if, instead of thinking that we are the ones in control of every little detail of our life, imagine instead of existing in this space in which all things were working together for good, under God. What if, for a moment throughout our day, we trusted that? That means that we have nothing to fear, and that we can instead become beacons of love and hope and compassion and justice in the name of Christ. We can take risks for the sake of following Jesus. We can befriend the outsiders in our community. We can live joyously and abundantly. We can live lives of gratitude and hope, working for peace and reconciliation, as Paul says, pressing on with joy and confidence. This understanding that Paul is getting at is that Christ reigns supreme, and it is something that Paul was grateful for and that we can be grateful for as well. We can be grateful that Christ reigns supreme. We can be grateful that we are human and not God, and that God is the one who looks over all of this. And friends, speaking of gratitude, speaking of this gratefulness, today is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is a time in which our whole nationwide focus turns to togetherness and family and gratitude, but perhaps also turns to the trappings of Thanksgiving. And sometimes Thanksgiving can be a really stressful time for people for whom visiting family can feel fraught with tension and details and awkwardness. And with that in mind, I read a funny blog post the other day talking about Thanksgiving recipes that included so many ingredients that we might be familiar with. So here's some of the ingredients that the blog post mentioned. We're going to get a little bit of levity here. 1.5 cups of seething resentment. 1 dog that you were asked to leave at home who is being boarded at a daily rate that makes your eye twitch. 2 tablespoons of I thought you were just going to do a quiet Thanksgiving at home this year. 1 pumpkin pie purchased with wadded up dollar bills that you were saving for tolls, and a pinch of guilt. And this rings true for some of us, right? Whether we are the hosting ones or the traveling ones, the trappings of Thanksgiving, the stress, the travel, the hosting, all things can come to overshadow the gratitude. They can be things that overshadow this gratitude which we fancy this holiday built upon. For others, Thanksgiving and later Christmas, they can be times that just bring loneliness and sadness to the surface. And for all of these feelings, I offer today an antidote that you might try, which is focusing on people rather than the tiny details of the holiday season. Focus instead on your gratefulness for people. For the people that you get to know or see or talk to or remember in these times, the people who are in relationship with you. Focus on the gratitude that you have for people. Focus on the gratitude you have for yourself. Focus on the gratitude you have for God, who is always with you, loving you. And today is also called Gratitude Sunday here at the Nahant Village Church, because it is an annual moment in which the church pauses to focus on gratitude for the people in our community here in a very intentional way. We invite those in our town who work tirelessly to keep the town running smoothly and thriving to be present, especially in worship today, and we thank them for being here. So to close out this morning's time of sermon, I will name some of the multitude of departments, committees, groups that keep our community thriving. So if you are here this morning and serve in some capacity in these groups, I would invite you to please rise as you are able and remain standing until the end of the blessing. So at this time, will people from the following please rise in body or spirit? The Nahant Police Department. The Nahant Fire Department. The Historical Society. The Library. The Board of Selectmen. The Town Moderator. Town Administrator. Many veterans of Nahant. Town Hall staff. Volunteer committees. Planning Board. And now, friends, let's extend our hands in blessing to these folks, and let's pray a blessing over them and their work. Holy God, we ask that you bless these people who work tirelessly on behalf of our community. Grant them compassion, creativity, and perseverance. Keep them safe in their day-to-day work. Guide them in their work such that they may be beacons of hope and love in our community and beyond. Help each of us to show gratitude for all that they do, not only today, but each day. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Can we give them a round of applause? Thank you all. And now let's join together in our second hymn. It's in your New Century Hymnal, that's your black hymnal, number 495.